Turn your Bible to John chapter 11, as this morning we'll continue in our study of the I Am statements of Jesus Christ. We've seen that seven times in the Gospel of John, Jesus Christ describes himself using the title I Am, which of course is the title of God. He says, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And even last week we saw, he said, I am the true vine. This morning in John 11, Jesus Christ calls himself the resurrection and the life. And this means so much to us because today we celebrate Easter, which is Resurrection Day. In fact, we realize that on this day we celebrate that Jesus Christ came to the earth and died on the cross and paid for our sins. They put him in the ground and he rose from the dead on the third day. He has conquered death. He has paid for sin. He has gained the victory over the grave. He indeed is the resurrection and the life. And it's important that we realize that every Sunday, though, is in a sense Resurrection Day, because we worship on Sunday, which is the first day of the week, because Jesus Christ rose from the grave on the first day of the week. May this Easter be a very special day for each of us as we look to Jesus Christ as the resurrection and the life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the music that we've had, the privilege to be able to sing songs about Jesus Christ and his resurrection from the dead. Oh, we thank you for that. We thank you for the victory over the grave. We thank you that he is the resurrection and the life. And we pray, Lord, that as we look through this passage this morning, we might be excited about it and the Word of God might change our lives. We ask all of this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You ever been in a situation where you needed some help and you called a friend and somebody you knew and you called them and a good friend and they came and helped you? A couple of years ago, I was over at Jay Reeser's house and as I left, I got in my car and I drove off and I'd gone about a half a block and I felt all this, you know, and I got out of the car and there I had a flat tire. And so I got out and I tried to change it, but you know, I couldn't get those things off. And so I went back to whatever those things are and I went back and I knocked on the door and I said, Jay, I need some help. I've got this flat. So Reeser said, sure. And he came out there and it took us a long time to get the lug nuts off, but we finally got them off. And he was a great friend. And when I needed him, he was there. I called him and he came. Since last August, most of you know my mother has had three major surgeries, and there have been times that I'll get a call and they'll say, hey, they've decided the surgery's tomorrow. And I had to call Lyndall and Ray Nethery and Ed Harris and say, will you teach for me Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? I've got to go right now. And they did. Great friends. You know, in your lives, there are times that you've had to call a friend for help, somebody that you needed, and they came. What happens if you call for one of your friends, you call somebody and say, I need your help, and they don't come? I mean, you expect them to come. They always have come. They've always been your friend, and you call them, and they don't come. How do you feel? Do you feel deserted? Why did my friend come? This morning, we're going to see something very similar to this, because Martha and Mary, that's two ladies we'll see, and they have a problem. They have a brother named Lazarus, and he gets sick. In fact, he gets bad sick. So sick that they all know Jesus. In fact, they're real good friends with Jesus. And Jesus isn't there. He's somewhere else. But they send some word to Jesus. Help. Help us. Lazarus, one of the guys you love, one of your friends, is really bad sick. Come and take care of him. And we assume Jesus comes, but he doesn't. Jesus does not come and Lazarus dies. What did they think? I mean, they begin to wonder, does Jesus really love us? I mean, he's always been here before. We sent the word up there. He told him that Lazarus was bad sick. What are we going to do? And he doesn't come. We see this morning Jesus Christ was teaching them a truth that deals with why we have come together even on this morning, and that is resurrection. Jesus Christ teaches them that he is the resurrection and the life. He is the one who conquered death and gives eternal life. Jesus owes this to Mary and Martha and even Lazarus, that he is the resurrection and the life. You know, maybe there have been times in your life that events and trials and problems have come and you've turned to God for help and you've called to him and it seems like he doesn't hear you. It seems like he doesn't listen. It seems like he just doesn't come. And you think to yourself, doesn't he love me? Doesn't he care for me? And the truth is, he sure does. And he may be teaching you and he may be teaching me some things about himself. This morning, Jesus Christ declares he is the resurrection and the life. He conquers death and gives life. And on this day, as we've come together to celebrate this truth that Jesus came to this earth and died on the cross to pay for our sins and then rose again, gaining the victory over the grave. One of the Gospels, the Word of God says, He is risen just like He said. Great truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ affects every human being that's ever lived, because death no longer is the end. Everyone will rise from the dead. Everyone will come back, both believers and unbelievers. Some will rise from the dead to come back to be with Jesus Christ forever, and some will rise from the dead to be separated forever. Jesus has conquered death. Where will you be? Let's begin with John chapter 11. And we're going to see three of Jesus Christ's closest friends when he was on the earth. He stayed at their house a lot of times when he would go to Jerusalem. Remember, Jesus, most of his ministry was spent in the northern part of Israel called Galilee. But for the feast and certain times like that, he would come down to the southern part of Israel called Judah, or sometimes called Judea. There was Jerusalem. And when Jesus would come down in that part of the country, he would stay with his friends, Martha and Mary and Lazarus. They lived in a little town called Bethany, which was 2 miles from Jerusalem. This morning we see these three, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And we see they have a problem. Lazarus gets sick. And they need for Jesus to come. And we don't know where Jesus is, probably in Galilee. And they send word because they know Jesus can heal. He's healed so many people. They've seen it and heard it. And Jesus, of course, will come. We realize Jesus will use this situation to declare that he is the resurrection and the life. Let's begin. John chapter 11, we'll begin at verse 1 as John gives us a little background. Verse 1 says this: Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, of the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Now he gives us all three. He says, now there was a guy named Lazarus and he was sick. And they lived in Bethany, 2 miles from Jerusalem. And he's got two sisters, Mary and Martha. Now you remember them. You remember the story that Jesus went to their house one time, probably Sunday afternoon or Saturday afternoon, no telling when. And he went over to the house and one of the sisters named Martha, oh man, she was going through the house. She was scurrying. She was getting everything right, getting some food on the table, setting the table close up, getting everything right. She was the doer. But she had a sister named Mary, and she was sitting at the feet of Jesus because Jesus was talking about the Bible and about God and about all these great truths. And she was sitting there. She's the thinker. And their brother, we don't know where he was that day, but that's Lazarus. Now we find out this morning that Lazarus gets sick, and Martha and Mary, the doer and the thinker, say the only thing we can do now, we better send for Jesus because he's sick. We're going to find that this man, Lazarus, later on in this book of John, is said to have a great testimony for Jesus Christ. What a family. You know, Jesus had a lot of friends. I mean, you ever thought about it? When he was on this earth, great crowds followed him. And then he had the 70 guys that he sent out. And then he had the 12 men that stayed with him. And then he had three in the inner circle. And then he had John, who was his closest. But whenever he would go to Jerusalem, most likely he would stay with this family, Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And now one of them's sick. One of them's bad sick. What are they going to do? We get a little more information about him. In verse 2 it says, And it was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now just to make sure we know who it was, you remember the time Jesus was eating and a woman came in and she took this ointment thing and she broke it and she covered him and then she took her hair and she wiped his feet? This is the same woman. They love Jesus, and guess what? Jesus loves them. Look at verse 5 of John 11. It says, Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. There they are. But they've got a problem. One of them is sick. And they've got to send word. So look at verse 3. The sisters therefore sent to Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Now they sent word to Jesus saying, the one that you love is sick. You know him, Lazarus, the brother, Martha, Mary, we're all here. Lazarus is real sick. You need to come help. I mean, this would do it. Jesus loves Lazarus. Why, he'll be over here so fast, Well, you know what, he'll be right here. I mean, he's healed many people. It won't be a problem for him to heal, I'll tell you that. We don't know where Jesus is. As I said earlier, I think we'll see in a little bit that he's probably in Galilee in the northern part of the country. Well, you and I do the same thing. We got to hang around with Jesus, and we saw what he did, and we saw his miracles, and we know who he is, the Son of God. And here is our brother who is sick. In fact, if something doesn't happen, he's probably going to pass away. He's going to die. We would send for Jesus. We'd send some friends and say, would y'all go up there? I think he's in the Galilee area. Go find him and tell him to come on. The one he loves is sick. Watch what happens when Jesus gets the word. Because you and I would assume that as soon as Jesus finds this out, he's packing up and going down there. Verse 4. When Jesus heard it, they came and told him, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, and that the Son of Man may be glorified by it. Now, he starts off by saying this sickness is not unto death. Now, if you and I know the passage, that doesn't sound right. But literally in the Greek, it says this sickness, or it literally says the death will not be the end. Death will not be the end of this event, is what he's saying. If Jesus heard it, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but it's for the glory of God. See, the glory of God and the Son of God may be glorified by it. This event of sickness will be for the glory of God. Wow, you mean sickness can bring glory to God? I was at a meeting the other night, I spoke, and when I got through, a guy came up to me and he said, you know, people aren't supposed to be sick, and sickness is wrong. And if a person was really sick, they could get well if they just had enough faith, because all sickness is wrong. This passage says this sickness is for the glory of God. I want you to stop and think that many times there are questions and problems that come into our life, and sickness and death and heartache and trials. And I want you to realize that those things come into our lives for the glory of God. We don't always understand them. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good. Those that love God, those are called according to His purpose. He says He's going to take all things and work them to the glory of God, even sickness. How do you and I respond when the trials come into our lives, when the sorrows and the sicknesses and the disappointments and the trials and the death of a loved one, how do you and I respond when those things happen? Is it in anger? Is it in sadness? Is it confusion? Why would God do that? Why didn't He come? Why didn't He stop this? Or do you and I realize that God is working all things for His glory? As James chapter 1 says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith works patience. It causes you to trust God. And then goes on and said, let this trial have its perfect work. And that perfect work is to bring glory to God. God never does anything to hurt us, but He always does what is best. We don't understand it. Well, when the men hear this, when Jesus says, this sickness is not unto death. In fact, you could probably see them come to Jesus and say, listen, you got to get back down to you got to get down to Bethany. Lazarus is about to die. In fact, if you don't get down there, he will die. And you can see Jesus turn to his men and say, this sickness is not unto death. It's just for my glory. Most likely they left. But Jesus doesn't. Now, I want you to see something that John writes here in verse 5. We just saw it a while ago, but look carefully. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now, John does not want us to forget that Jesus loved them. And so, the truth is, we cannot forget that in the circumstances of our lives that God loves us. So often, these events cloud out the fact that God loves us. And when things bad happen, and trials, and death, and sorrow, and sickness, and we go, where is God? If He really cared, He would have done something. And we must remember that even in these events, He loves us. He loves us so much that 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 and 10 says, herein is love, not that we love God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the satisfactory payment for our sins. That's how much He loves us. He loved us so much that everything is working for good and for His glory, even when we can't see it. And Martha and Mary and Lazarus, they don't understand what's going on yet. You can see those friends turn around and head back. And they say, Jesus, come on quick. We're going on back. Jesus doesn't go. In fact, look at verse 6. We would expect Him to rush there. But verse 6 says, when therefore He heard that he was sick, when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, He stayed then 2 days longer in the place where He was. Now, from Jesus' point of view and from the men up there, they apparently say, Lazarus is not too sick. Jesus is not packing up, heading out. And you can almost see Martha and Mary when those people get back and they say, where is he? Where is he? Is he coming? Well, he didn't come right with us. Well, did he start out right after you left? Well, we didn't see him. Well, did you look behind you? Did you see him coming? No, we never saw him. He's not coming? Well, he didn't really say. He said it wasn't unto death anyway. What happened? Why would he wait 2 more days? He's teaching the truth. Isaiah 55 says that God's thoughts are not my thoughts and God's ways are not our ways. why he does and how he does. Sometimes we cannot figure it out. And as you and I know this passage, we realize that one afternoon they go into the room of their brother who's laying on that bed and he is dead. And Jesus didn't come. What happened? See, the men with Jesus way back up probably in Galilee, they're having a good time. They figure the guy's just sick and Jesus is going to take his good time to get out of there because Jesus knows what's going on and the sickness is not unto death. But on the other end, there are two sisters with a dead brother. And they call for Jesus, and he didn't come. You can see him saying, if Jesus would have been here, it would have been okay. He wouldn't have died. If Jesus would have, we'd call for him, if he'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. I don't get it. Why didn't he get here? We told him to come. We told him how serious it was. We know he loves us. He stays at our house a lot of times. Why didn't he come? What do you think? When it seems sometimes that God just isn't listening. Why don't you listen, God? Why don't you answer? Where are you? Don't you really care? Let's see Jesus' response in verse 7. Then after this, he said to his disciples, let's go to Judea again. And most likely in Galilee. And now he says, let's go on down to the south. Let's go to Bethany. Let's go to Judea and let's see my friend. He's waited a while. Look down at verse 11. This he said after that, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go that I may awaken him out of sleep. He says, you know, our friend has fallen asleep. Literally in the Greek it says, our friend Lazarus is sleeping. But I'm going to go down there and I'm going to wake him up. Now, what is he talking about? Now, the guys could say, well, okay, Lazarus is asleep, and Jesus, he's resting comfortably, he's doing fine, and Jesus is going to go down there and wake him up. But as we look at this passage, we realize Jesus is saying that Lazarus has died, and he's going to bring him back. His men don't get this. In fact, look what it goes on to say in verse 12. The disciples therefore said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Well, good. If he's resting now, if he's sleeping, he's going to get better. That's what they think. That's good. Let's go down there and see him. But John wants us to know. He explains that Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he was speaking of literal sleep. When Jesus said he's sleeping, he means he's dead. They thought he's just asleep. So Jesus explains, verse 14. Then Jesus therefore said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there so that you may believe. Let us go to him. Jesus said plainly, wait a minute, you guys have missed it. No, let me say it better. Watch. He's dead. Lazarus is dead. And I'm really glad that I wasn't there. I'm going to him now so that you can believe. So let's go. He's dead. See, it'd be one thing for Jesus to heal Lazarus. It is a greater thing for Jesus to raise him from the dead. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Let's see what happens. They go down there. Verse 17 says, so when Jesus came, he found that he had been already in the tomb 4 days. Now that's important. And it may not be important to us, but in a few minutes, I want to show you how that is important. It's important according to some tradition. When Jesus got there, Lazarus had already died and they had put him in the tomb 4 days ago. Here comes Martha, the doer. Verse 20. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. But Mary still sat in the house. You can see Mary. She's still trying to figure all this out. She's the thinker. I don't get it. Martha's the doer. She didn't get it either, but she's going to go out and see if she can do something about it. I don't get it, but I'm going to go talk to him about it. Look what she says in verse 21. Martha therefore said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She says, if, and it's not true. If you'd have been here, but it wasn't true. You weren't here, Jesus. If you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. She's really saying, why weren't you here? See, look what's happened to us. We've lost Lazarus. If you'd have been here, this kind of thing wouldn't have happened. If you would have been here, he would not have died. Why weren't you here? I hate death. Can you see Martha and Mary? And they don't have their brother anymore. He's dead. He's gone. He's in the grave. He's been there 4 days. And they miss him and they love him. And they said, Jesus, if you'd have been here, we wouldn't be going through this thing now. But you hate death. I hate it. You know, people come to me and they say, well, JB, you're a pastor and you know about Jesus and death and resurrection and all that good stuff. Death is a great time. Death is not a great time. Death is separation. Death is a result of man's sin and the fall, and we're separated from God. Death is not good. When you and I lose a loved one and we put them in the grave, we are separated from them and we miss them. It is not good. That's why Jesus Christ came to conquer death and fix it where death would not be the end. Most of you in this room have experienced the loss of a loved one. You know the separation and the hurt of death. And she says, Jesus, if you'd have been here, it wouldn't have happened. Lazarus would be here right now if you'd have been here. I don't get it. From this passage, though, we're going to see Jesus Christ as the resurrection and the life. He raises the dead and he conquers the grave and death has no sting. Look what Jesus says in verse 23. She's just got through saying, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. And in verse 23, Jesus says to her, your brother shall rise again. What words? Listen, don't worry about it. He's coming back from the dead. There are many of us in this church body. Now, some of you, if you haven't lived very long, you haven't experienced it yet, but the longer you live, you're going to lose somebody you love. And you and I love to hear those words, your loved one will rise again. Our loved ones that know Jesus Christ as Savior, we can count it without a doubt. Jesus said, they will rise again. Look what she says when Jesus says, your brother shall rise again. Look what she says, Martha, in verse 24. Martha said to him, I know that. I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. She says, I know my Bible. I know the truth. I know that there's going to be this resurrection at the end. And as Daniel chapter 12 says, all those people are going to rise up. That's going to be great. I know that. It's not now, though. It's in the last day, whenever that's going to be. Well, the book of Job, see, throughout the Old Testament, they understood resurrection. Job said this. He said, even when I die and the worms eat my body, I know that in this flesh I will see my God. They've always known about the resurrection. And when Jesus said, your brother's going to rise again, she said, I know that. Daniel 12 said that. Job talked about that. I know that. She's thinking that in the last day that there will be the resurrection. She knows it's not forever. She knows her theology. But Jesus wants to change her thinking and maybe possibly change your thinking this morning. Because Jesus wants to change her thinking. She sees resurrection as an event. And Jesus wants her to see resurrection in a person. That's why he says, I am the resurrection. He didn't say, I caused the resurrection. He says, I am the resurrection. And the resurrection of people is not just an event. It is in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the one who died and rose again, conquering death. Look what he says in verse 25. Jesus said to her, she just got through saying, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus said to her, no, listen. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. It's in a person. The resurrection is raising the dead from the graves. The life is giving eternal life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. This is our last I am statement. I am the eternal, existing, all-powerful God who is the resurrection and the life. We need this one. How we thank God for Jesus Christ, the one who raises the dead, the one who gives life, the one who has conquered death. And look how he explains all this. Look what he says. I am the resurrection and the life. And then he goes on to say, He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. And everyone who believes, or everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And he starts off by saying, he who believes in me. You know, to believe in him means to trust him. It means to trust him as Savior, to understand that he is the Son of God who died on the cross and paid for sin and rose again. For you and I to believe in Jesus means to put our trust in him and him alone for salvation. He said, all those, everyone who believes in me, now look what he goes on to say, shall live even if he dies. Shall live even if he dies. Even if somebody dies and they put them in the ground when they believed in Jesus, they're going to come back from the dead. But there's even more. Look what he says in verse 26. He says that everyone who lives, literally everyone who is living and believes in me, shall never die. What does he mean? See, he's talking about his return. And there is a truth that everyone who has believed in Jesus Christ and they've already died physically, at his return, they're going to come back from the dead. And all of us who are still living when Jesus returns and have believed in him, we're never going to die. We'll be changed and taken up, as the Bible says, in the moment and the twinkling of an eye. So he's talking about his return. If you remember in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when Jesus or when Paul writes about the return of Jesus Christ, we call it the rapture, he says what? There'll be the shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and then the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's the ones who've already died. Their bodies come up out of the ground. They'll live again. And then it says, and we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them to meet them in the clouds, in the air with the Lord. Thus we shall always be with the Lord. And there's a great truth that Jesus says. That any of those that have believed in Jesus Christ and they've already died, and you have loved ones in your lives and in your families that have trusted in Christ and have died, he says they're going to live again even if they've already died, because he's going to come in the clouds and they're coming up. And then he says, for every one of us who are still living when Christ returns, and he could return in any second, he could return right now, we're the ones living, he says, we'll never die. What a powerful statement. He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even if they die, they're going to come back. And if you're still living when I come back, you're not going to ever die. He is the one who conquers death. He gives life. He looks at her and he says, you believe this? Do you believe this? That those who have already died, who know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that one day, even though they're dead, they will live again? Do you believe that? Do you believe that as you are living and the Lord returns, that you will never see death? Not physically. You'll be changed. You'll be caught up in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. This old mortal body will put on immortality, and this old corruptible thing will put on incorruption. Do you believe that? Jesus says. It is because of him, because the resurrection is in the person of Christ. He says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He who believes in me, even they're going to live even if they die. And the ones who are living and believe in me, they will never die. And he looks right at her and says, do you believe this? And I want you to see her answer. Verse 27, she said to him, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. So she said it past tense. She said, I have believed this. Yes, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God. She said, I believe you're the Messiah, the anointed one, the one God sent to bring that man back to God, the one to reconcile us, the one to die on the cross and pay for sins, the one to rise from the dead. I believe all that. The one who became flesh and dwelt among us, the one who we beheld and saw the glory of God, the one who died and rose again. She knows who Jesus Christ is. She knows in who she has trusted. I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day. He says, I believe it. I know it. Do you know who you believed in? Where is your hope for the future? What are you trusting? When you die, what will happen to you? Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He's the life giver. Well, now they're going to go where Lazarus is. Jesus said, where is he? Let's go. Well, here comes the thinker. Mary comes to meet Jesus in verse 32. When therefore Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Same thing. I don't get it. Why weren't you here? Why did he have to die? I don't get it. And Jesus said in verse 34, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And they're going to take him to the tomb. Now let me explain to you that it's not like today where they put people in caskets and put them down in the ground. They usually dug them in the side of a hill, inside of a cave, and they would wrap the body up and set it usually on some kind of little platform. And then as the body decayed and there was nothing left but the bones, they would go back in there and take the bones, put them in a bone box, which in many times the whole families were in these bone boxes, and that's how they kept them. And so Lazarus is placed, wrapped up, now for 4 days, lying in a cave, basically. Jesus said, where did y'all put him? And they said, come and see. And in the context of this passage, it says, Jesus saw her weeping. And the Jews came with her were also weeping, and he was deeply moved. And he began to look around, and there was Martha and Mary crying, and the other people crying. And they're crying because Lazarus, their friend and the brother, is gone. And you and I have stood at a grave and cried because they're gone. And Jesus said it. Where is he? And he looked around and they were crying and they were crying. And what did Jesus do? In verse 35, and Jesus wept. Now you may have read this many times and you think Jibby Jesus kind of went, boy, that's tough. The Greek says he burst into tears. Death's not pleasant for anyone, not even the Son of God. And Jesus, being deeply moved in verse 38, came to the tomb. Now there was a cave and a stone was lying against it, just like they always do. And here's what he says. Remove the stone. Of course, Martha, the doer, she says, this was the sister of the deceased. She said to him, Lord, wait a minute. By this time there will be a stench. It'll be a bad smell. Because see, he's been dead 4 days. I don't know if we ought to open this thing up. See, let me tell you about the tradition of 4 days. In the Jewish tradition, now this is not biblical, but it's Jewish tradition, that when somebody died, for 3 days the soul would hover around the body. And maybe they might wake up after a day or two or three. But after the third day, the soul was gone. And so on 4 days, it's too late for anything. It's been 4 days. Is that why he might have waited an extra 2 days? Anyway, she said, we better not open this up. It's going to smell really bad because he's been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her in verse 40, did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God? See, everything's for the glory of God. All of these events are for the glory of God. Even the sickness and the death is for the glory of God. And he says, listen, did I not say, if you just believe? And so they removed the stone, verse 41, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you hearest me, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it, that they might believe that you did send me. Now he prays to the Father, he knows what he's going to do, but he says he wants to make sure everybody understands that what's fixing to happen is coming from God. And in verse 43, and when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. There are many people who believe that if he had just said, come forth, all the graves would have opened and the people would have been coming out. So he got specific. Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with the wrappings, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said, unbind him and let him go. Death cannot hold him. The resurrection and the life has spoken, come forth. And he came out. Death has no victory. Jesus Christ is the master over death. And this event foreshadows the greatest event in history. And that event is not very long after this. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, was arrested, tried, found guilty, put on a cross, and crucified, put to death to pay for our sins. And he was placed in a tomb very similar to the one of Lazarus. And after 3 days, praise the Lord, that's what hallelujah means, he is risen, the first begotten from the dead. And so you have to have both, the death on the cross to pay for sins and the resurrection to conquer death. And as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? There is not one. Because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and brought man victory over death. Death is not the end. And when you and I think of those that we have known and loved who have died, it's not the end. Jesus is the resurrection, and He is the life. He raises from the dead and gives eternal life. This morning, you and I see Jesus, the resurrection and the life. What is your hope? Where is your hope? Who is it in? Remember these words, he who believes and dies will live at Jesus Christ's return. It's called resurrection. He who believes and is living at the return of Jesus Christ will never die. Do you believe that? Have you believed, have you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, believing that He died on the cross to pay for your sins and He was buried and rose again, just as He said? He is the resurrection and the life. He has defeated sin and death. Now understand this. Everyone is going to come back from the dead, believers and unbelievers, those who have trusted in Jesus and those who have not trusted in Jesus. Because Jesus has conquered death, and death will never hold anyone. There will be the time that there will be the resurrection of the dead. Some to be with Jesus Christ forever, those are the believers, and some to be separated forever, those are the unbelievers. As in Adam all die, so in Christ all shall be made alive. Where will you be? On this resurrection morning, I give you an invitation. An invitation, if you've never done this before, an invitation to put your faith in Christ right where you're sitting right now, to understand and believe that Jesus died in your place, took your place, died on the cross, paid for sins, and rose again. And if you will trust in Him, you'll have eternal life. Your invitation right now is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. As we think about the trials and the problems and the sorrow and the sadness that comes in our lives, remember that Christ and that God is in control in these circumstances. He's working things for His glory. When you and I say, where is He? Why didn't He come? Why didn't He answer? Why didn't this work out? Realize that He loves us and cares for us. And He is working things according to the counsel of His will for His glory. Even when it doesn't seem like He's there, He is there. Even when it doesn't seem like He answers, He's there. Even when it seems like He doesn't love us, He does. He is there. Remember the hope that is in Jesus Christ. There are many of us in this room who are thankful for the resurrection of the dead. Those that we have loved, who we have laid in the grave, one day we will see again. She knew her theology, do you? It will be the resurrection of the dead when Christ comes, and the dead in Christ shall be raised, and we who are alive and remain to be caught up together with them. Thus we will be with the Lord. And He says, so therefore, comfort one another with these words. Everyone who has died and trusted in Jesus one day will rise again. Everyone who is alive when Jesus comes back and has trusted in Him will never see death. The hope of eternal life. Death is not the end. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, when we think of this passage this morning and we see the sadness and the sorrow of death, we are thankful that it is not the end. We are thankful that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, that He died on the cross, that He paid for sins, that He rose again, and by faith in Him we have eternal life. And death has no sting. Death has no victory. We know that we mourn, but we do not mourn in sorrow as those who have no hope, but those who have the hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that we might remember that in the events of this life, even when it seems like that you're not there, that you are. And Lord, for those that we loved and we've lost, they're not lost. We know they're with you. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we look forward to the day in which the bodies will rise and we'll be caught up together with them, and there'll be the reunion of the believers. Thank you, Lord, that death is not the end. Thank you that Jesus Christ has conquered death. We ask all of this in Jesus Christ's name.